We are family. I want to start by reading Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15. The last part of verse 15 is really what the Lord spoke to me about this message. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So look around. If you are a believer, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you are living committed to him, not perfect, but committed to live with him and for him, then you are a part of a huge family, not just in Hidden Treasures, but across the world. I mean, we have a huge family. We look different. We're from different races. We're from different, different countries, often from different, speak different languages, but we are part of one family. Okay, you can be seated. So we have a huge godly family, which is very cool. We are connected by our faith in Jesus Christ and our dedication to God and his word. And this is what unifies us despite the things that might otherwise separate us. I've told you before that when Rick and I got together and met, our backgrounds were very different. Like basically, what we had in common when we met was Jesus. And that connection and God putting us together has lasted 25 years. Praise the Lord. So, that is a big connection. Having Jesus is a big connection. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to marry everybody in church, obviously. But, being connected to Jesus and having the same love for God connects us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to agree. It doesn't mean that even we're always going to get along. Everybody that has a physical family knows that the truth is you can love people and they can get on your nerves. And you can disagree with them and you can want to be out of the room with them because maybe you've had enough together family time. That happens in our family sometimes. And so it's important, though, that we understand what connects us is not that we always have the same opinion or the same likes or the same personalities. What connects us is that we have the same bloodline because Jesus cleansed us. His blood is what connects us. It was cool. Melanie Wertheim. For those of you, they lived here for a long time and now they've been gone because of the military. But her daughter that has called my mom Nana, like a lot of other church people have, all her life. And Melanie sent me a text message yesterday and she said, like 5 minutes ago, Abby just realized that we aren't actually related to your mom, aka Nana. It was this revelation for her. And Melanie said, I told her that Nana was her sister in Christ. And then I tried to explain that, and she just gave me a weird look and stuck out her tongue. So if you know Abby, that makes perfect sense. She was just kind of like, I don't know. Nana and I being sisters doesn't make sense to me. And that's true for a lot of us. The idea that we are brothers and sisters, can be difficult to understand physically. But again, when we understand we have the same bloodline, the Bible says we are joint heirs with Jesus. That's what unifies us. And we have to keep that central because, as I've said before, in the church, there's going to be disagreements. We're going to have different opinions about things that at the end of the day don't matter. What we have to keep in central focus is that we love and serve the same one. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we're connected by his blood. Now, John 17, 20 through 23, we're going to read this, and we've talked about this before, but this was Jesus' prayer, and we know that it's God's will for us as Christians to be unified. And we also know that God's power is available for us for this to be accomplished. So, John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. And this is amazing when you really start to think about it. Jesus is praying that we would be one as he and the Father and the Spirit are one. I mean, that is a lot of oneness. That is a major deal to be one like that. But that was Jesus' prayer. And Jesus didn't just pray things kind of like we sometimes just throw up these prayers not actually expecting God to do anything about it. Jesus didn't pray prayers like that. Like when he prayed, he meant for it to happen because he knew the will of the Father, and he only spoke the things that were the will of the Father. And so when he was praying this prayer, it was the will of Almighty God. And so he said, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Unity is a powerful witness to the world. When people come into a church and they see people from completely different backgrounds, different colors, different languages even, that are seem to be connected and seem to love each other and seem to be unified, that is a witness. And that's what we're supposed to be to the world. And so, verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. We're going to talk about that verse in a minute. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That word made perfect means to be complete. It means to literally accomplish or figuratively consummate in character, to consecrate, to finish, to fulfill, to make perfect. That's what Jesus prayed, that we would be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and notice this part, and have loved them as you have loved me. Again, amazing to me that we would be loved, that Jesus is saying that the world would know that you sent me, and that the world would know that God loves us the way that he loved Jesus. That's amazing. We need a revelation of that love in the church continually. We need to understand the love that God has for us because it changes everything. We're going to talk about that today. Jesus prayed that we would be made perfect. It is amazing to me that we could be made one the way that the Trinity is one. But this verse that says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I've never really understood what that verse says or what that verse meant by the glory, because glory is one of those words that it has multiple definitions and I just don't always understand exactly what it's referring to. But I read an article that was very interesting to me. And so, you know, this is one of those things that as you continue to study the word and ask God for revelation, he continues to reveal things to you. But I just want to kind of present this information that I read in this article. And the article said that this can refer to the presence of the Holy Spirit that we as believers are given. I want to show you 1 Peter 4:14. Because in this verse, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of glory. And we are given the presence of Almighty God in our lives. And that presence then allows us to be one with each other and one with God. And so 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And so I do agree with that, that the presence of Almighty God within us is the glory that God has given us, which allows us to be made one with other people and one with God Almighty. Because we know that that doesn't come from us physically. It doesn't come from our ability and just trying real hard to like people. I mean, that's an important part, honestly, of being in the church, is that sometimes you just have to step over yourself and your own annoyances and your own, I don't want to deal with these people and love people anyway, you know. But it's a whole lot deeper than that. It's not just like, I'm going to try really hard to like people, even though I really don't like these people. Like, it is a revelation of, I am going to love people because God himself loves from within me. And I'm going to allow that love that comes from the inside to flow out, even when I might not feel it initially physically. I've said before how that my mom prayed at one point because she had a girl and she was just struggling physically to love her. And this was years and years ago. And she said when the girl came up to her house, she said the love that flowed out of her for this girl, she said it was like tangible. She could feel it. The Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And when we need love, sometimes it's not a feeling. Sometimes it is an action that we do in obedience to God because God is telling us to love people and to extend ourselves to people. But sometimes God will just fill us up with the love that he has. And so, we have God's presence because we have the presence of the Trinity with us. John 14, 23. This is a powerful scripture as well. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. This is important because there are a lot of people in the world that say, oh, I love God, but they don't follow the scripture. Your words of love need to match your lifestyle of love. And your lifestyle of love needs to match what the Bible says. Because if we all just make up what loving God looks like based on our own ideas, then there is no standard. There is no perfection. There is no, like, and there is a standard, and it's right here. And it's the same for all of us. And so we have to keep his word if we love him. That is, you can't say you love God and not keep his word. They don't go together. Like it, we have to keep his word if we say we love him. And this is what Jesus said. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Make our home means our abode, our residence, our staying, our abiding, our dwelling. We need to remember this because in understanding who we are to be and what God is calling us to do as Christians, we need to remember that we have the presence of Almighty God in order to accomplish it. It's not just within our own strength or our own ability or our own power or our own knowledge or our own straining to try to be nice to people that we don't like or straining to try to do things that we don't really want to do. It comes from the presence of Almighty God. But often we're not aware of his presence. There's a song by Salvador, Make Me Aware, because we can miss it. I know the song that we sing, Holy Spirit, the bridge says, let us become more aware of your presence. How can we miss the presence of Almighty God when he is right there in our lives? Because God does not always get up in our face and go, I am here. You know, I mean, I would love it if he did, honestly. It would be quite helpful, you know, in moments that I need him. But he doesn't often. Like, he's like, my word told you I would never leave you. And so like David, when we're discouraged and frustrated and life is confusing, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, not by seeing, not by feeling. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as I place the word of God into my heart by faith, the Holy Spirit brings that word back to my heart and I choose to stand on it by faith. So much of this Christian life, if you wait until you feel Christian or you feel spiritual or you feel the ability or you feel the willingness to do it, you will miss out and wonder, how do all those other Christians live differently? And what is wrong with me? I can tell you what's wrong with you. You are living by your feelings instead of by your faith. This is a spiritual walk and we live in a physical world. And so we are going to have to go against the grain, against what we feel, against what we see, against what other people think we should do. You know, trust me, I speak from experience. You know, you have to live by what the Holy Spirit is revealing to the inside of you and not let that be affected many times by what you see, by what you feel, by what feels comfortable or feels easier or looks like it works. Because sometimes we are standing in faith and we're going, God, physically, I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I feel like you're not doing what I feel like you said you would do. What do you do in those moments? You look back at the word because it doesn't change. And you look at it until the circumstances do change. And they will eventually. It's not always in our timing, which is what makes it difficult because most of us like to control. And God will not be controlled. It doesn't matter how much we manipulate and try to control him. He just goes, you're going to wear yourself out, but, you know, go ahead, knock yourself out. You know, when we get to the end of ourselves, we go, okay, God, I'll do it your way because I've exhausted myself and there really is no other way at this point, you know, and God is merciful. You know, he'll let us get to that place sometimes because it's the only way that we'll get there. Okay, Ephesians 3. I want to move into Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 talks about how Christ will dwell in your heart. Sometimes in the church, you grow up and you hear all these sayings. And as you grow up, like, you're like, I don't know where that saying came from. Like, I've heard it my whole life. For example, like when if people pray and ask Jesus into their heart. At one point, as an adult, I was like, where did that even come from? Like, why do people ask Jesus to come into their heart? And where is that in the Bible? I'm about to show you. Ephesians 3, in verse 14, this is where we started. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, there it is, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, or with all the other Christians, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, Paul prays that God would allow the believers, through God's presence, to be made strong through his Spirit on the inside, so that Christ can reside permanently, make his home in our heart through faith. There's that word. Because obviously, if you looked in my heart on an x-ray, you would not see Jesus. But he's there. You know, his presence is there spiritually through faith. I believe that because I know that the word of God is true. So that we being rooted, which means made stable with roots of love. Will you put up that slide, Joe, of the roots? Love is the root. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute. So that we may be made stable with roots of love. When you see the roots of a tree, the ones that are on top are just the beginning. Like, there is a whole other root system that goes down deep into the ground that establishes that tree so that it can stand in the storm. That is how love is to be in our lives, our revelation of the love of God, because it will carry us through the times in our lives where we struggle. And grounded, if you put up the next one. So we need to be rooted and grounded. That word grounded, it means a foundation. We need to have a foundation. If you've ever built anything, which I haven't, but I've seen things built, you need a foundation. You have to be specific. You have to be careful on how you lay it and make sure that things are laid right. This needs to be true in the lives of Christians. We need to continually be making sure that our foundation is the love of God, a revelation of the love of God. Because if you make your foundation the love of another person, no matter how wonderful they are, that foundation will shake. Because people are imperfect. And they might love you, and they might even love you with the love of God. But their love is not ever supposed to be your foundation. As Josiah, when Josiah and Peyton get married, you know, I mean, they will love each other and God will give them a new revelation of love as they grow in love for each other. But their love doesn't need to be the foundation for their lives. God's love needs to be the foundation for their lives. And that way, everything else that is built on top of that. Love has to be the root. And when we're rooted, made stable with his love, and grounded with the foundation of his love, then we can comprehend with other Christians what is the width and length and depth and height. So we have four different illustrations of the distance of love. I need four children to come up here. One. Okay, three more. Okay, Cameron Carter, one more. All right.
Okay, so I need Luke, I need you to stand right here. And hold this. And Carter, I need you to grab this and go back as far as you can go. All right. So,
no. Okay. This is just an illustration, okay? Often, this is what our Christian life looks like. The longer that we serve God, the more that our revelation of his love just gets further and further. And we go, man, God, your love is so big. Okay, all right, you guys, just stay where you are. Actually, take like a few steps that direction. There you go, right there. Okay, now you hold this right here, right there in front of the... Well, no, actually, go over there to the end of the stage. And then Cameron, you go grab that from him. Nope, go this way. Because we're going to show a different, yeah. So this is a different kind of distance. Now, this tape measure is not quite as long as that tape measure. And it's a little bit harder to pull. I found that out last night. But, yeah, there you go. That's as far as it'll go. So listen, sometimes our revelation of God is, of the width of God, is only this long. Sometimes it's only that long. But as we walk with God and we go through situations, I know for me, I can remember. And some of you are going to be like, oh, she should have just let you deal with the consequences. And my mom did let me deal with the consequences many times. But I can remember her being merciful to me, staying up with me at night, helping me finish projects that I, you know, needed to finish. And in those times, listen, she didn't do that all the time. But those times of mercy, I felt very loved. I'm just going to tell you. I try to live by blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, because I need mercy a lot in my life. You know, but we go through times, and sometimes when we experience the mercy of God, when we're like, man, I didn't deserve that, the revelation that we have of the love of God just got a little bit longer, and we go, wow, God, your love is bigger than I realized. Okay, guys, y'all can just close that up. Yeah, it'll take them a minute. Yeah, I think there's a button you can push on that one, Luke, but yeah. And then I want to show you one more illustration, because this says, good job, guys. Give them a hand. Yay! Okay, another thing is it says how high the love of God is. Listen, the love of God is so much higher than us. Like, it's way beyond what I can reach. And that's why often in dealing with other people, when you run out of your love, you need to rely on his. But sometimes when he gives you a revelation of his love, and like with my mom in that experience, you experience, I know I've been praying for people. I had one situation one time, and I went to a women's conference, and like I just felt like God, I grieved. And God just gave me his heart for a few minutes, and I just wept, you know? And God will just show you sometimes the height. I mean, I don't think I experienced even a smidge of the height of the love of God. But David said in Psalm 39, where can I go from your presence? If I go to heaven, your presence. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, your presence are there. The truth is, even people that are in hell, God loves them. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves people, but he allows us to make our own choices and allows those choices to allow consequences to happen in our lives. And so we need a revelation of his love, because love has to be the root, the core of the understanding of who we are in Christ and what we do for him. Not achievement, not ability. Not production, not our, all of these things that we can accomplish. Because if it becomes about me, then it stays about me. And it becomes, and it stays about my ability and my power and my strength and my everything. And it's not about me. It's about him. And it's about understanding his love. So love has to be the root. Because as the Holy Spirit gives us a revelation of the love of God, what we read earlier says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I cannot understand it with my mental ability. But as the Holy Spirit reveals to me, the rest of that verse says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As we get a deeper revelation and a higher revelation and a wider revelation and a longer revelation of the love of God, we are filled with more of his fullness and we look more like him. And we all need that. As we know his love, we learn to know him, because the Bible says he is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The measurements of God's love go in different directions, and God reveals different aspects of his love throughout our lifetime. Sometimes when we experience his love, when we knew that we didn't deserve his forgiveness, that is often when we have a deeper understanding of the of his love. Luke 7:47, Jesus had gone into the house of a Pharisee, And the Pharisee was proud and, you know, was disagreeing with Jesus. Anyway, at the end of the situation, Jesus said, "Therefore, I say to you, her sins," talking about the woman, which they were saying was a sinner, "which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." The truth is, anybody who has a revelation of being forgiven by Jesus has been forgiven much. If you have been forgiven and you think, "Well, Jesus really didn't have to forgive me of that much," you don't really have a revelation of what you've been forgiven of. And you need to ask God, "Lord, would you show me all that you've forgiven me of?" I've told you how my mom got saved and at 8 years old came to the altar and just wept over her sin. Why would she do that? Because God gave her a revelation of how much he had forgiven her. God doesn't just go, "You are such a terrible person and I don't even want to look at you anymore." He says, "I love you so much that all of that," see, God doesn't cover. The Bible says whoever covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. God doesn't just pretend that sin doesn't exist when it needs to be dealt with, but he deals with it and then he covers it. But that's why we have to confess sin and we have to ask God's forgiveness. But when we do, he is so amazingly merciful that it will blow your mind, the mercy of God. And when you experience the mercy of God when you don't deserve it, which we never do, it just reveals a wider, longer explanation of his love. And you go, "God, you are so good. And that causes this cycle. Because he has forgiven us much, we love him much. And as we love him much, we get a revelation of, because we seek him and we seek to know him. And as we know him and we know his love, then we're filled with more fullness of him. And it's this ongoing revelation of who he is and of his love. But it always starts with him, not with us. We don't have to come based on our own worthiness, thank the Lord. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." He is always the foundation, and it always starts with him. His love has to be the foundation of our Christian lives, grounded in love. What's cool is that the more that we understand his love, the more secure we can be and his love for us, which helps us to respond to other people with more grace and more understanding and more love and more forgiveness and more mercy and more all of those things that God has offered to us. Our security has to come from being grounded and rooted in his love. 1 John 4:16-19 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." If you don't have a revelation of God's love, I'm going to ask you just to ask God for a revelation. Again, it's not about you understanding it and trying to get a mental, intellectual understanding of it. You have to have the revelation from God. You have to say to God, "God, would you give me a revelation of your love so that it is the foundation of my life, that it is what roots me and grounds me so that I'm not trying to grab these other people or these other things to make my life secure, but that my life is secure because of the love that I have from you, God Almighty." It says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." I believe that all of us can continually seek a deeper revelation of God's love so that we might be filled with the fullness of God, the Bible says. I want to show you two more passages. Romans 8:35-39. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword," all of these outward circumstances, can any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, and these were major things, famine and sword and persecution and tribulation and distress. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm telling you, though, faith has to be a part of that. When you're going through things, you have to look at faith. You can't just dwell inwardly at how you feel and how the circumstances are affecting you. You have to look upward and outward at him and at the fact that he said, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And I know, God, that you love me because you said that you loved me. And my feelings will eventually catch up with what I know is true because the Bible says it. And we declare that and we get a revelation of it on the inside. And God changes us from that revelation. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sins can separate us from God's presence, but that can be remedied with repentance and obedience to God. Circumstances don't have to separate us from the love of God. So I just want to invite you as this song plays to just pray about these things. Number one, if you don't think you've been forgiven of very much, like if you don't really think you're like, I really wasn't that bad. Like I know because I used to think that way as a kid, like I really needed a revelation of it, you know, because I thought, I didn't kill anybody. Like I haven't, you know, I've been in church my whole life. Like we need a revelation of the fact that we needed to be forgiven much so that we can love much. Because I think sometimes that's what happens to church kids is they think, I mean, really, I know God that Jesus died for all those people that really needed him to die for them, but I wasn't really that bad. Like we need, as church people, we need a revelation of how much we need him. Of how much we need the cross. And that comes from a revelation. We need that. So if you don't think you've been forgiven of very much or need to be forgiven of very much, ask God to reveal that to you. Not just so that you feel guilty. Nobody likes to feel guilty. But if understanding my sin will bring me to the place where I love Jesus more, then it's worth it. And it's necessary. Number two, if you haven't really repented and admitted your sin to God and turned from it, that's the starting place. His love is so merciful and gracious, and he loves us before we deserve it. But we have to be honest about our sin and our need for forgiveness and be willing with his help to change. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then number three, realize that even if you do know that God loves you, you need more of a revelation of his love. Because I don't think any of us will stand in here and say, I have a complete revelation of the fullness of God within me. We all need more of a revelation of the love of God so that we could be filled with his fullness. That's what I want. So pray and ask God to give you a deeper revelation, understanding of his love, and through his love, his character. So if you need prayer, we would be glad to pray with you.